Hey, Elijah, you want to do a mic check for Alana? Okay, so today is going to look a little bit different, as you can already tell. So we have a group of youth, and I have Alana Bailey, Lily Jantz, Eliza Joya, Riley Cook, and Nick Bailey, and they are going to have a little discussion today about how their faith stands out in action. So I'll turn it over to them.
Good morning, Journey Church family. Today is Youth Sunday, and we are excited to share with you what God has been doing in our youth ministry. Our theme today is Come and See, Standing Out in Faith. It's about what happens when young people and all of us live boldly for Jesus in a world that tells us to blend in. Let's start with our key verse, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When we stand out for Jesus, people notice not because of us, but because of the light of Christ shining through us. Today, four of our youth will be having a discussion up here about what it means to stand out in faith, and we want you, our church family, to be a part of it too. Point one, faith stands out in action. James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it not accompanied by action, is dead. Let's start with this question, what does it look like when our faith shows through our actions?
Good morning. So it's one thing for you to say you believe in God, but it's another thing to actually walk with Christ and act upon our faith. When our actions line up with what we believe, people can literally see Christ through us. They can see him in our actions, they can see him in the way we talk, and they can see him in the way we treat people every day. And that's when they start to feel Jesus' love. That looks like choosing kindness when you're irritated, being patient when you feel like you can't hear another word out of anyone's mouth, like you just can't take it anymore and you're still being patient, or staying grounded when you feel peer pressured. In situations where you're in group projects or in group environments and, you know, for instance, someone's picking on one kid or something, being there and being nice to that kid, even when everybody else is another way to show Christ's love and act upon our faith. Do you choose kindness when you walk with God, or do you fall under the pressure? When we let our faith guide our actions, it plants a seed in others and helps bring other people to Christ. And that is why it's so important to do our best to live Christ-like.
I think that means that when we do things for Christ, and not just for our goodwill or attention, people will not only see Christ through us, but our lives will be more meaningful.
I think what that means a lot of times is, I heard this analogy, it's like we're sent basically as ambassadors to the world, as Christ. So when you accepted Christ in your heart, your side of the contract was you have to live like Christ. That's your side of the contract. That's just something you got to do, right? That's how you're supposed to present yourself. You're supposed to walk like Christ and talk like Christ, like that person follows Christ, right? You gotta have the duck analogy. If it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck. So the idea is like throughout your life, you have to show that you are like Christ, right? And show other people that this is attractive. This is actually something that needs to happen for the rest of the world. This is something that is necessary. This is something that produces a lot of love, right? And a lot of times it's really hard because born with a divine nature and a human nature, the human nature has a whole lot of problems, and I'm sure a lot of you know that, because I'm thinking about the Broncos right now. So that's the flesh part of my brain. I'm sorry. But guys, remember, your light has to shine, because if you walk like the rest of the world is going to continue to be like the world. And it needs emissaries. It needs people who will go out there and say, I love Christ. Here's how I love Christ. And the best quote I can find for this is like, spread the gospel in all ways that you can, but in the very least, use words. So that is St. Francis of Assisi. And I think that's really cool. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Okay, so faith that stands out in action. Okay, I have a problem. I forgot that I have to write down what it means, so I'm just going to read what I have written down. I particularly have struggles with making my faith stand out in my actions simply because it's so easy to hold grudges and to gossip. I'll say that I'm Christian, but then I'll be unnecessarily angry at somebody who probably didn't even intend to hurt me. Another problem I have directly related to this is jealousy. James 3:16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Yet it's so easy for me and many other people to be jealous of somebody because they look a certain way, act a certain way, or have more friends than you do. And I think that faith standing out in action is admitting that you have these problems and praying to God about them, and then trying to change that and to try to set an example for everyone out there who isn't a Christian, because maybe they'll want to know why you're this way. So.
These are such good examples. Our faith shines when we put it into action. Church, let's say this together. Faith that stands out is faith that acts.
Faith that stands out is faith that
Faith that stands out in actions means we don't just talk about Jesus, we live like him. It's not about being perfect, it's about being willing. When we see people how we live, they can see him. Now let's talk about the times faith is tested. The time is when standing out means standing alone, as it is represented in Daniel 3:17 through 18. The God we serve is able to deliver us, but even if he is not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods. That's powerful. Faith that stands firm doesn't mean we're fearless. It means we trust God even when we're afraid. Let's get real for a moment. If you ever had to stand for your faith when it wasn't easy, would you raise your hand? What it means to stand out. Say this with us. Even if he doesn't, I'll still stand.
Times when our faith is tested. Sometimes our faith is tested in ways we never expected. Personally, in the last decade, I've gone through a lot of hardships with family and friends and just everything you can imagine in life. And many of you heard my testimony a few Youth Sundays ago while I was here and I shared my story. But the part I want you to remember about that today is when I talked about asking why God, why did these things happen, and even sometimes wondering if he was there at all. That was a big test on my faith at that time. And what we have to do is, when you look back, it strengthens your faith. When I look back on it, those moments helped lead me to who I am today and who I am on my walk with Christ. So when we choose to run to God and put all of our trust in him and his plan, it actually builds a deeper relationship with him. A lot of time, trials and tribulations push people back into reading the Bible, listening to worship, and even reconnecting with the faith they drifted from. So you have to stand up for that faith even during hard times, no matter how hard it is, because if you give up on your faith, it's not going to make your life better. Pushing God away is never the answer, never the solution for your life. You have to be there and you have to stand for your faith. Just like God stands with you, you have to choose to stand with him.
For me, God just reminded me of this because I lost a bunch of friends because they decided to listen to a bunch of rumors instead of coming to me and asking me what was going on. This was also where I started to follow God more closely. So a verse came up in my Bible that made me remember that God is here. This is John 15:18-19. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And this just reminds us that the world hated the perfect man, so as soon as you're closer to God, it's going to hate you too, because you don't belong to it.
The historical context, oh my gosh, of this verse comes from the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is where the king, I think this is Babylon, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is Babylon. It says, renounce your God and bow down before this piece of stone, right, and worship this God. And they said, no. It's like, our God has the power to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we'll still praise him. Right, and I think, you know, the punishment for saying that was being burned alive. That is some cojones right there. It's like I'm still gonna praise God even though you legitimately, literally throw me in a furnace. So just like think about that for a minute, right? Would you, within yourself, if you're gonna be thrown into a campfire and you're going to be forced to stay there, would you still, you know, keep your faith, right? And even for me, I can't remember a memory where I was outside of church. That actually is a hard question to answer, right? How would you actually stand up with your faith? How would you actually stay there, right? And it all comes down to like, well, how do you build your faith? How do you get down there? How do you get to that level of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And it all starts with discipline, right? Because we all talked about you have to do these things. You have to stay disciplined. Well, how do you build that discipline? Well, number one, you have to realize that most of that discipline has to start with yourself, but it will not end with yourself. Because a lot of times when you're pulling power just to do the small things, a lot of times you're not pulling it from yourself. You're pulling it from the power of God. And where you come from that is like you read the Bible. You actually get to know your Father. You start to pray with him. You actually start to live with him. You start to meditate. All those things that I'm not good at. So just the thing is, you actually have to be disciplined. You have to get in there and be spiritually disciplined and act it out, right? Once you get to the point where you are faith-based, you are deeply within the Word and within God, and you've had real life experience, it gets easier, right? It's really hard to start. It's either tomorrow or day one, and a lot of times I have to choose day one so many times. So get that spiritual discipline, and soon enough you'll be able to stand for it.
So pressure. When I think of pressure, I think of peer pressure, because that's one of the biggest problems that we have today. And this is especially when we have to stand firm in our belief and say no when everybody else seems to say yes. It does feel a little bit lonely, but I know that there are so many of you guys out there who are also of the Christian faith who can support each other. It's what we're called to do. If any of you have seen The Chosen, I think about the theme for that, where all the gray fish are swimming in one direction, but slowly, one by one, more gray fish are turning into blue fish and swimming in the opposite way. Standing firm in our faith means we have to be those blue fish and do what is right versus what is popular.
Our last point brings us to the title of today's service. Faith that stands out doesn't just draw attention. It invites others to come and see what Jesus is doing. As you take away from John 1:46, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip.
All right.
Faith that invites others. We as Christians have to realize the way we interact with people on a day-to-day basis can help bring people to Christ, but can also push people away from Christ. Because when people know we're a Christian and they see how we act, they can either get a good taste in their mouth and want to come to Christianity, or they can get a bitter taste in their mouth and it can drive them further away from Christ. If we as Christians, we push people away and we treat them poorly, they start to associate that with Christ's love and not just us as people. They don't just see the people aspect of it, they see the Christian aspect of it, and it pushes them away from God. Our faith and the kindness that comes from it, it draws people in. It plants seeds in their hearts and it helps bring them closer to God. When we act out on our faith, Jesus' love shines through us, and people notice that. They notice it, and they start to wonder, what's different? And when they wonder what's different, it helps lead them towards Christ. It helps them want to draw closer to Christ because they notice the difference in us and our hearts, and they want to know why we're nice, and they want to know why we treat people differently, and it helps them feel loved. We as people, we just want to be loved. And so at the end of the day, when they feel that true love of Christ shining through us, it helps them seek out himself and not just people.
How I see it is like how I like to explain it is there's two girls. One of them's nice and the other one's mean. They both have a birthday party they want you to attend. If the mean girl that is constantly being rude to you and wants you to come to her birthday party but is trying to force you to go, you're not going to want to go. But if the nice girl invites you and is like, hey, you should come, but is not trying to force you, you're more likely to want to go. Jesus doesn't try to force us to follow him. He just invites us. But it's up to us if we want to go and follow him or not.
I'm going to be totally and completely honest with you. I didn't hear the question, so I just had to turn around and just look at the verse. That's what you get for not paying attention. What good can come from Nazareth, right? I think I'm just going to go off the verse. I'm so sorry. The idea was like a kind of a watch this, right? So let me just pull a local example. If you are from Steamboat, if you're from my hometown of Hayden, probably like the only one that actually lives there up here, so Haydenite in the crowd, let's go. Anyway, but it's like Steamboat and Hayden, they look at Craig and they're like, holy crap, right? And it's just like, I don't mean this, but I'm just going to say it. It's like, what good can come from Craig? It's like, look at these 300 people right here. That this is so much good in this room right now, right? And it all comes to show that, you know, there's plenty of bad stuff happening in Hayden. There's plenty of bad stuff happening in Steamboat. There's plenty of bad stuff happening in Craig. But there is so many people here who have actually given their contract and a blank check to say, I'm going to do good for the love of my master. And I think that is so beautiful, right? I'm going to do it in my own personal way, the way that I think I can, so I can go show them that there is good in bad places, right? Not saying that Craig is a bad place. just putting that out there. But Craig is an awesome place. You guys are awesome people. I just like, from the other perspective. But the idea is like, throughout that, going back to spiritual discipline, pulling that out and just showing good can come from bad places, especially because Nazareth, again, in the ancient world, I would assume that's where, like, you would assume career felons came from, and that part of Israel. Because that just seems like the context of that sentence, right? Because that's how I put it there. But it's like, still, look, the greatest good came from Nazareth, so good can always come from bad places.
I'm going to have to be real honest with this one. I haven't really invited anyone to church or like any of that really, mostly, and I am trying to work on that, but to be honest, I just forget, and I need to remember that. I should write it down somewhere, but I think it's really beautiful to see how people can go to like just one church event, and soon enough they're the ones inviting other people to come. And it goes to show how quickly the gospel really can spread. It's inspiring. I think with inviting other people, I think we should all do that more. Because maybe it's not like, maybe someone doesn't want to go because you aren't being loving or that kind of thing. But if you are loving, like, it's really amazing to look at. Even, like, from an outsider's perspective, like, if you think about someone else you know that isn't a Christian, like, I bet they'd think that it's really beautiful if they, like, came here and just watched it all happen.
That's right. Our job isn't to change people. It's to invite them to come and see what Jesus can do. Church, say this with us. My faith invites others to come and see. Right now, our youth. Right now, our youth are going to hand out something special to you, a Faith in Action challenge card. Each card has a simple challenge for this week, like pray for someone who's struggling, encourage someone who feels forgotten, and invite a friend to church or youth group. As they hand these out, take one and think about how you can live it out this week.
Who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus.
In Romans 12:2, Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Standing out in faith means living differently, letting God transform us from the inside out. We're not called to blend in, we're called to shine. All youth group, please say this with me. We are the light. We will stand out in faith. We will shine for Jesus. Let's close this time in worship as we sing. Think about how God might be calling you to stand out this week.
Let's stand together.